Okay, well, welcome to Chapter 2 of the CEN2513 Network Administration course. This is the chapter where we get to roll up our sleeves and start getting dirty and hands-on with the network operating system. We're going to install our Novell Network 6.5 Open Enterprise Server. We'll install it in a VMware environment. Hopefully at this point you've already followed the instructions in the VMware introduction module to get your VMware server software up and loaded and ready to go. At this point, I'm going to just use the PowerPoint slides as a backdrop, so if you want to open the PowerPoint slides up and kind of follow along, they'll give you at least some visual images to go along with the audio that I'm creating. The objectives for this chapter are to identify the requirements for installing Network 6.5, perform a Network 6.5 Open Enterprise Server installation, identify and be able to use basic network console commands, and to monitor server health and performance. If you take a look on page 4, we start talking about some of the Network 6 hardware requirements. And actually, if you'll jump forward to page 6, you'll see that the minimum hardware requirements are a Pentium 2 or an AMD K7, 512 megs of memory, but it's recommended to have 1 gig of memory, 500 megabyte DOS partition, but it's recommended to have at least 1 megabyte for every megabyte of RAM that you have. So if you've got 2 gigabytes of RAM, you should have 2.5 gigabytes full worth of the DOS partition. And the point of this is so that you can do a memory dump. If your server ever crashes and you need to contact network support to get help and figure out why your server crashed, you can do a core memory dump. It will literally write down the exact image that was in memory when the server crashed so that the network technicians can troubleshoot what the problem was. In addition to that, you need just a basic super VGA monitor and a bootable CD drive. Now, for this course, we're going to work in VMware, so we're probably going to go with some of the minimum configurations. We're going to allocate 512 megabytes of memory in our VMware image, which is kind of the default when you create your hardware image. And I'm only going to recommend that you allocate 500 megabyte of disk space, but we will go ahead and create an 8 gigabyte volume so we have a little bit to play with. Just to back up a little bit to slide 5 and talk a little bit about this one. When Novell first introduced NetWare in like 1985 or so, they were the first company to come up with what was called an open systems architecture. It's quite common now, and so none of this will seem unfamiliar to you, but in 1985 when they did this, they were the first major operating systems company to do this, and the concept behind it was they would build an operating system and allow you to put pluggable pieces in it that would allow you to make your own choices in the type of hardware you ran, the type of services you ran, and the various different things you did on your server. So what this diagram on page 5 kind of shows is that there's a basic core software bus there. The server.exe file is what actually launches that. And that to that, you add things like your disk drivers, your NLMs or network loadable modules which support things like TCP/IP or print services or communication services or your NIC card drivers or whatever. That allows you to use whatever hardware you want to use underneath the software platform, and also to build services such as TCP/IP services, and later we'll learn how to add web services and FTP services and all kinds of other services into this operating system. Okay, I'm going to move forward to page 8 and talk about the installation startup phase. Basically, we're going to start out with the installation. It is a bootable installation, so you're going to put your CD into your CD-ROM drive. You're going to bring up VMware Server. You're going to start the server that you created, the hardware server that you created, and it will boot from your CD-ROM and begin the installation. If for some reason it's not booting from your CD-ROM, then check the configurations on your CD-ROM and make sure you created a bootable CD-ROM in your hardware image. That is generally created by default and should have been created if you followed the instructions I showed you, but sometimes, depending on the hardware of your personal workstation that you're working on, it may have been created a little differently, so check that. What's going to happen first is after you boot up and begin installing, you're going to have to accept some licensing agreements like as is normal with most software installations. It's going to have you prepare a DOS boot partition and a NetWare partition. Go ahead and create just the standard 500 megabyte DOS partition and accept its default on the 8 gigabyte network partition. As you see on 10, it kind of shows you some examples of a NetWare 6.5 disk allocation pattern. You have a small boot partition, you have a sys partition. Both of those are required. The boot partition contains the initial files that will load the operating system into memory. It will then remove DOS from memory and no longer use it. The sys partition contains all of the operating files for the operating system, as well as the eDirectory database and all of the services required to run the base core operating system. From there, you can create additional partitions to create additional volumes, and we'll talk about that in later chapters. As you go through the installation, you will then go through a section that will ask you for driver information, hard drive drivers, NIC card drivers, etc. When you're doing your VMware installation, go ahead and accept the defaults. VMware does a pretty good job of creating a hardware image that will allow you to select default drivers built into the NetWare installation routine, and it should go through smoothly just accepting the defaults. At some point, you will have to create a sys volume. Go ahead and use the defaults for that. It should default to about 8 gigs. It may be 4 gigs, actually, for the sys volume, an 8 gig partition that will be available. But go ahead and accept that default, the 4 gigs. And then the next thing it's going to ask you to do, which talks about on page 15, is select a pattern. Follow the instructions in your textbook for the pattern you're going to select. It's giving you actually all of the various different services that you're going to need to have installed to complete the rest of the exercises in the book. There actually will be some additional ones we will install later in the course, so don't install anything it hasn't asked you to install. Very closely follow those instructions in your activity in your book. The purpose of this particular section, the pattern selection phase, is to kind of make things just a little bit easier on the administrator. And you'll see on page 16 they've given you some examples. There are various different modules that you're going to add into the server operating system to have it perform the way you want it to perform. One of the advantages of having the selection phase is that you don't have to load a lot of modules you're not going to use, and by not loading those modules, you leave extra free random access memory and processing capacity and that kind of stuff available for the ones you are actually going to use. And it gives you some ideas on 16, some of the various options you can choose. You can choose the server is going to be Apache web server, it's going to be a DHCP server, it's going to be an LDAP server, it's going to be a DNS server, it's going to be a MySQL server, and each of those ones will select the proper services and NLMs that need to be loaded to support those functions. You can always select a pattern and then add additional modules as well later. For example, if you wanted your server to be an Apache web server and also be a DHCP server, you can select additional options as well. And we will learn in the course as we go along how to come back and add additional services after the fact, even after your server's been running for many months and many years. After that, you're going to be asked to name the server. Page 17 talks about the defaults or the constraints for how you name the server. It must be 2 to 47 characters. It must cannot start with a period. It cannot contain spaces. And then it recommends you avoid using things like underlines and dashes and stuff like that. The purpose of this name is actually used as compatibility with other protocols such as LDAP, and you want to make sure you come up with a name that will function with all the various different protocols. Then you'll get a chance to decide whether you want to install TCP/IP or IPX. TCP/IP is the default. You should leave that default. We are not going to do IPX for this course, so don't worry about that. You will actually at that point also be asked to address your server, give it the address and subnet mask and gateway addresses. Those are all listed in the content module. Be sure you use the ones that are given to you there. We will not set any DNS names. We don't have DNS set up on your VMware environment, so we won't use DNS names. We're just going to address our server strictly by IP address throughout the course. Then you'll go into eDirectory installation, and again, make sure you're following the directions in your book. You'll create your tree, you'll create your first organization container, you'll create your admin user, name your admin user, give your admin user a password, and set up all of that information. Make sure you're being very careful about documenting that information as you go through, because you'll need that to log back on when you finish your installation. Page 21 talks about that the Network 605 OS comes in two CDs. You have an operating system CD and product CDs. Both of those are included in the back of your book. You're going to start the installation with the operating system CD, and at some point you'll switch to the product CD, and we'll also use that later in the semester to add additional options to your server. Okay, I'm going to skip forward to page 26 and talk about working with the server console. Keep in mind that what we're working on here now is a dedicated server. This is not a machine that's designed to be a workstation that somebody would work at. It's a machine that's only designed to provide services on the network. So in the last part of this chapter, we're going to look at some of the utilities on the server that are there to allow us to manage and maintain the server. First of all, on page 26, it talks about the process of NetLore loadable modules, which are those modules that give additional functionality over and above the basic operating system. And then it talks about the process of booting up the server. The first thing that happens when you turn the server on after it's been installed is it's going to load up a minimal amount of DOS, enough to run the server.exe program that's located on the DOS partition. This server.exe program will load the network operating system. It will remove DOS from memory at that point and take over and manage the server itself. It has a couple of configuration files. Just like DOS has autoexec.bat and config.sys, the server exe reads the startup.ncf file and the autoexec.ncf file. They serve similar functions. The startups.ncf file serves a similar function to config.sys, and that it contains all of the information about drivers and other configuration options it needs to use during the boot up process. The autoexec.ncf file is similar to the autoexec.bat file in that it executes commands after the server is mounted and up and running, and it will actually go and it will load the volumes and it will load various other NLMs and services on top of the server. Everything that's contained in the autoexec.ncf file can in fact actually be typed at the server command line and executed manually. But you want those in the autoexec.ncf file because if, for example, your server were to go down because of a power outage, you would want it to come back up properly and load all of the functions and services that you need loaded.